Good morning, loyal listeners, and welcome to the final episode of Leading Off this summer. If you missed Wednesday's show, then that sentence might come as a bit of a surprise to you. And I just want to reiterate how bittersweet this is for me. It has been an absolute blast doing the show, both producing and hosting, and it was so cool to see how many reviews we got and how many daily interactions Dan and I are still getting on Twitter. Just because there won't be a show anymore doesn't mean we are out of your lives completely, though. Keep reaching out to Dan and I for any fantasy baseball questions you have. And if you play fantasy football, reach out to me about that as well. Now, with baseball winding down and football gearing up, and this being the last show for the summer, I got a little emotional yesterday. And I want to start today's show by encouraging everyone listening to remember why you're playing fantasy sports in the first place. Whether your baseball championship is coming up, or if you're just getting ready to draft your football team. For me, my dad owns a sports card and memorabilia store, so becoming a sports fan wasn't really something I had a choice over. I was 11 when I did my first fantasy draft with my dad. It was 2005 when we got the first pick. I was a huge A-Rod fan back in the day, and we took him first overall despite him coming off a down year in 2004. Then with our second pick, we took David Ortiz, and they finished 1-2 in the AL MVP voting that season. In 2007, I did my first keeper league, again with my dad. My mind was blown when he was explaining to me how a keeper league worked. I remember playing catch outside as we discussed who to take. Somehow, we once again got the first pick. He told me we needed a good player, but player who was also young. We took Albert Pujols first overall, and he was on our team for the next decade. Unfortunately, our fifth-round selection of Daisuke Matsuzaka didn't work out as well. I know that isn't a tear-jerking story or anything, but it's just my story of how I got into all this. And at its core, fantasy is an escape. Maybe from your job or other responsibilities, but it's also fun. And it's also very social. I imagine we all have leagues that help us keep in touch with old friends or family or coworkers. So however your championships go this month, just remember why you're doing it. It's supposed to be fun and help you engage with people in your life. That's all. But now that we got the sentiment out of the way, let's move ahead. With today's show, I'm just going to go over a few of the big stories from yesterday and then do a little preview of what some 2020 fantasy drafts might look like. We'll start with Max Muncy, who as of this recording is set to undergo more testing on his wrist. Muncy left Wednesday's game with the injury and doesn't have a fracture, but he's still going to get some x-rays. If he misses time, one would assume the Dodgers would plug in Gavin Lux as their everyday second baseman. Just in case, add him now if you haven't already, but remember, he might not produce much if Muncy is fine. Next, I want to give an update on Seth Brown of the A's, a more under-the-radar prospect. Brown exploded in AAA this year, and he's now 7-for-19 to start his big league career. Playing time could be an issue moving forward with Ramon Laureano coming back from the IL, but if you need some offense, there are worse adds to make. And lastly, it needs to be noted how dominant Mike Clevinger has been this year, after throwing 8 shutout innings and striking out 10 versus the Tigers yesterday afternoon. He now has a 2.72 ERA and a 0.97 WHIP for the season. Consider him among the upper echelon of starting pitchers from here on out. Okay, so this 2020 draft is an exercise I'm really excited about and wish I had even more time to go over. I've seen a lot of industry people start looking ahead like this, and I think it can help us think big picture with where the fantasy landscape is headed. In my eyes, there's a clear top four at the start of 2020 drafts. My order would be Mike Trout, Ronald Acuna, Cody Bellinger, and Christian Yelich. I'm pretty adamant that Trout should be first. I mean, he might be the best player ever, and he's still in his prime. Though I'll acknowledge there's a strong argument for Acuna due to the stolen bases. Acuna entered last night with 36 homers and 31 steals, and he's a very good shot at becoming the fifth player ever to go 40-40. Meanwhile, Trout has just 10 steals, and there have been studies that show that in fantasy baseball these days, steals are nearly twice as valuable as homers due to how many homers are being hit across the league. But then there's also the question of how much the Braves will allow Acuna to run moving forward, in a similar way to how the Angels reeled in Trout steals a few years ago. Atlanta might not want Acuna pushing it on the bases, but he's still only 21, Again, I'm going to go with Trout. As for Bellinger versus Yelich, it's close, and you can easily flip-flop them. To me, Yelich's back issues this season are just a tiny bit worrisome, and Bellinger is a bit younger. That's all, though. Yelich has the steals advantage and should remain a stud. From there, it gets interesting. I think in the first round, mainly in a categories league, which is how I'm approaching this, you want to target hitters who have power and speed potential. Three names come to mind here. Mookie Betts, Trevor Story, and Francisco Lindor. Mookie isn't having the same year he was last season, which is obviously frustrating, but that could mean he winds up a value in 2020. I don't expect him to be ranked as high as I have him, even though we have seen him be the best player in fantasy, both in 2016 and in 2018. Lindor and Story are similar to each other. Both are studs. From there, we get into some steady producers who don't steal bases, like Nolan Arenado and Freddie Freeman. Both corner infielders would be drafted high because they're as consistent as they come, and both should be first-round picks. I want to talk about some starting pitchers next. What's going to be interesting about next year is that some of the aces we've come to know and love, such as Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, are getting really up there in age. Scherzer is 35 already and has dealt with injuries this year. Verlander is going to be 37 next season. That's really the only case against them, though. Otherwise, they've both been as good as can be on a per-inning basis in 2019. But due to their ages, I'm going to slide in two pitchers ahead of them. Their number one starter for 2020, as of now, is going to be Gerrit Cole, who already has a preposterous league-leading 252 strikeouts and it isn't even September yet. It's worth noting that Cole is a free agent after this year. I would prefer he stays in Houston, but I don't envision that his value would change too drastically if he goes elsewhere. My other top starter is going to be Walker Buehler, who will be just 25 next season. If you remember, his season got off to a slow start this year, as the Dodgers barely had him pitch in spring training. That is the same strategy the Red Sox used with their SPs, and it has backfired everywhere. Since May 11th, Buehler has posted a 2.44 ERA, backed up by a 2.55 FIP, with 153 strikeouts and just 19 walks in 118 innings. That is just phenomenal. He's young and I only expect him to get better. And then from here, I don't think it makes sense to keep rattling off a top 20 or anything like that. Enough will change between now and then, and there's plenty of time to discuss the first two rounds. I just want to highlight some other names of note that I think will go early in drafts. Trey Turner should go early yet again. Remember, steals are so valuable in this day and age when nobody is running. His teammate Juan Soto is also going to be similar to Arenado and Freeman as a four-category stud. Fernando Tatis Jr. will likely settle in as a second-round pick. He is probably going to have some batting average regression, but posted 22 homers and 16 steals in just 84 games as a 20-year-old rookie. LOL. Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts will deservedly be ranked high. So will Alex Bregman and JD Martinez. I think people will be able to get Aaron Judge at a discount. Nobody has talked about him this year. The StatCast data remains beyond elite, though, and if he stays healthy, I expect big things. Lastly, I want to talk about a couple other positions. I've discussed the catcher position a ton since I took over as host. Catcher is like tight end in football, and it just fascinates me on the different ways to approach it. I will say that Gary Sanchez will be the top catcher next year, although we'll no longer be getting him at a discount like we were in 2019. Names like Realmuto, Grandal, Contreras will remain towards the top, but I'm going to be targeting young guys who I grew to like a lot this summer. That would be Will Smith, Francisco Mejia, and Carson Kelly. Smith's ADP could get a little crazy, but I'm going to comfortably rank him as a top 5 catcher. And then reliever should also be interesting. It seems wild now that Blake Treinen and Edwin Diaz were the top guys this past spring. Safe to say that's changed a bit. Kirby Yates is going to finish here as the top closer, and therefore will probably be ranked highest next year by most people, but I might default to Aroldis Chapman as my top choice. Just in such a good situation with the Yankees, and he remains so good. But that'll do it for your final edition of Leading Off this summer. If anyone ever has any suggestions for the show, feedback, things for the future, don't hesitate to tweet Dan and I. at DanHarris80 or me at TooMuchTuma. And seriously, keep those fantasy questions coming, both for baseball and for football at this point. Have a great fall, everyone. Hope to talk to you again soon.